Hello, I'm Oliver Wong.
I'm Morgan Rhodes, and you're listening to Heat Rocks. Every episode, we invite a guest to talk about, you know, a heat rock, a flammables fire, an album that bumps eternally. And today, we will be talking about the 1995 album from Raekwon the Chef, only built for Cuban links. Back in the days, crime pays in mad ways, sporting Tommy Hill with caves, 360 waves, and no searching for loose ends. Now flex 300 bins, mad tens with mad diamonds. Now that's the life of the good life. Sometimes niggas act trite. Only Built for Cuban Links was released on August 1st, 1995 by Loud Records and RCA Records, starring Raekwon the Chef and guest starring Tony Starks, a.k.a. Ghostface Killah. This album was the catalyst for all the odes to made men and mafioso life that came after it. Only Built was built on the stories and glories present on films by G's, Wu, Scorsese, and Coppola, Real Spit, and Real Grit, beginning with the album's intro, Striving for Perfection, which found our guys taking a moral inventory and, in today's lingo, setting their intentions for the next phase of their careers. What follows is an 18-track opus, peppered with New York narratives and slang, Raekwon's patented prolific storytelling, and the hype intensity of Ghostface Killah, king of the non sequitur. Ladies and gentlemen, these were our tour guides to the underworld, criminal enterprises and syndicates, ethics and violations, ice cream and cake, rainy days and staircases, Ennio Morricone and the RZA. Because no discussion of Only Built for Cuban Links is worth having without mention of the score. Piano loops, film clips, soul samples, breaks and beats, conversations, situations, hallways, ominous, moody, and excellent. That about sums it up. RZA made a movie out of these 18 tracks, mixed and engineered Han Solo. All the elements kept us present, the sequencing kept us connected from one adventure to the next. And so we parlayed with other family members, Meth and Them, Capadonna, Inspector Deck, GZA. We got reacquainted with one of QB's finest, Nas. And we found out that someone out there was biting styles and such. This one is special. This one is worth all the acclaim that came with it. This one is considered by Rolling Stone to be one of the best 100 albums of the 90s. This one melded Sicily, Staten Island, and the Shaolin into a soup, and we drank it. This one prefers Z's to S's, like swords, knuckleheads, spot rushers. This one actually comes down to science. Chemistry. The chemistry between two members of a sick tight clique that went all out. This one's a look into the secret life of killer bees. This one's 25 years old. And this one is a heat rock.
Only Built for Cuban Links was the album pick of our guest today, one of QB's finest, Havoc, of the legendary Mobb Deep. Ask any hip-hop head who had the best album of 1995, and odds are the answer is either going to be Only Built for Cuban Links or the album this man helped to assemble, Mobb Deep's The Infamous, which is celebrating its 25th birthday with a special anniversary reissue complete with bonus tracks. When Havoc and the late Prodigy joined forces in the early 1990s, the two teens began to put together a blueprint for where hip-hop would pivot by mid-decade. Dark, brooding, and grimy. Filled with enough pulpy trife-life tales to stock a dime store book rack. Havoc was always nice on the mic, but he made an even bigger leap on the boards. And today we can look back on a quarter-century resume of Hall of Fame tracks that included Shook Ones 2, Still Shinin', and Quiet Storm. It's a distinct honor to have him on our show today, even more to have him talking about the Purple Tape. Havoc, welcome to Heat Rocks.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start here. How did you and Raekwon first cross paths?
Me and Raekwon first crossed paths back in, I would say, it would have had to have been 94. We was label mates, of course. And Steve Rifkin used to have us doing... us, Mobb Deep and Wu-Tang, doing a lot of functions together. And, you know, I can't remember exactly, specifically the moment I met Raekwon, but I know during that era, like we kind of gravitated more towards Ghost and Raekwon, you know what I mean, for whatever reason it was. And, you know, we was cool ever since.
I always thought that your career with Mobb Deep really paralleled that of the Wu. And in particular, I always think about the ways in which you and Prodigy, along with RZA and GZA, all of you had these first albums that maybe didn't quite capture your full potential. And it took the second albums, in which, you know, for RZA and GZA, it would have been the end of the 36 Chambers. Obviously, for you and P, it would have been the Infamous. And that those are the albums that really cohered for people what you all were about. And so I'm wondering, to the extent that there was this transition point that both you and Prodigy were going through, but the Wu was going through it as well, all around the same time, to what degree were each of you in your camps really listening to one another's music?
You know, I couldn't really tell during that time if they was listening to our music, but I know that we was listening to theirs. You know what I mean? They already had put out the 36 Chambers, huge success. It was crazy. They was playing it everywhere. And, you know, I kind of was listening to it after a while as sort of a template. You know what I mean?
What is it that you were learning from it?
It didn't sound processed like these, like, manufactured hits. Some of the beats was, like, really, really muddy and grimy, but at the same time, powerful. Word up, pushed up, man got mushed up. Seen him at a rap show, acting like Batcat though. Glasses gold, shining like a real big boy. This nigga had mega ice on Chips Ahoy. Cats around it, this political brown kid. All out the window, my man walked in. Pulling Mid-South, son had...
You know, speaking of Wu-Tang affiliates, Eye for an Eye is one of my favorite tracks from Infamous. Can you talk a little bit about how you guys came together on that track?
Well, we was working on the album, you know, the Infamous album at the time. We already had released Shook Ones or whatever. And we had gotten cool with Ray already, you know what I mean? Ray and Ghost. And, you know, of course, Nas is from the hood. So, right. You know, after the success of Shook Ones, I think, you know, a lot of confidence was in us from our peers like Nas and Ray and them. And we asked them to do a song, and they was like all the way with it. You know, they was, you know, so they all, we asked them, and they came to the studio. Like this, another war story from a thirsty young hustler. Won't trust her, I'd rather bust her and leave you caught for the cops to discover. Well, I'll be bipping in the Range Rover. All too well, like Liberace. You watch me while Jake's trying to knock me and lock me, but I'll be on the low sipping Asti Spumante. Niggas try to. You, Raekwon, and Nas, y'all sounded so good together on that. Thank you. I appreciate that. And we had a lot of fun doing that record, you know what I mean? Because I was in the studio with Nas, who, you know, as an MC, you know, I it's like God, you know, as an MC. And then you got Raekwon and Prodigy, you know what I mean? So it was a studio session to remember.
I'm wondering for you, especially because you had already gotten to meet Ray, and in particular, not only that, you know, you had him and Ghost on your album, but also because you, as you mentioned before, y'all were on Loud together. What were your expectations going into Cuban Links? And had you heard any of the early versions of the songs when they were still working on it in the lab?
I didn't hear none of the early songs off of Raekwon's album. I wasn't even privy to that. And I guess they was holding it tight to the vest, right? But when I knew that Raekwon was going to put out his solo album, Only Built for Cuban Links, and when I finally heard it, I didn't expect anything less. And I think that I was even more, like, I was bugging off of the songs that he was coming up with. I was like, yo, that Only Built for Cuban Links, it made me want to go back to the drawing board because the album was just super dope.
I think the Infamous came out, in April because it just celebrated its 25th anniversary. Right. Only Built for Cuban Links came out, if I recall, later on that summer.
Right.
So do you feel like if the release dates had been flipped, do you think listening to Only Built first would have sent you back to maybe tweak some stuff on your own album if you had had the chance?
I believe it would have. You know, but I think the A&Rs, Matty C and Scott Free would have stopped me. You know, Prodigy and them would have stopped me. Because Because to be honest, I could work on an album forever. You literally have to peel me away from production because I'll work on it forever.
Bring this back to Raekwon specifically. What do you think made him distinctive as an MC? Like, what was he doing stylistically that made it unique to him and to himself?
Raekwon?
Yeah.
I think that he was just lyrically legible. Like, you could understand every word that he said. Sometimes, you know, when rappers rap, you know, you'd be like, what was that word he said? With Raekwon, you understand every word he says, so it's easy to relate to. But all I need is my house, my gat, my act. Bank account fat is going down like that. Important French, but let me speak Italian. Black stallions wowing on Shaolin. That means the Allen, the Staten, and niggas carry gats in. Mad police of Manhattan. Now, yo. Havoc, I like what you said about Raekwon's legibility. And this album, really, in a lot of ways, is as much Ghostface as it is Ray's. I mean, Ghost is on 2/3 of the tracks. Absolutely.
And if Ray is super legible, then Ghost to me was the master of the non sequitur. Whenever Ghost would jump in, there was just this energy, this hypeness to it.
Yeah.
And that having those two different voices, the different stylistic approaches on the same album, even though Ray gets first billing, I mean, it's his name on there. Ultimately, this really felt like a duet album in a lot of ways. And that contrast in their styles seems really pivotal to the ways in which I think as a listener, we all received Only Built for Cuban Links.
Yeah. I mean, Ghostface, when he comes in, I mean, the way Ghostface compliments Raekwon and vice versa is almost like a duo meant to be. Like, you know what I mean? It's like,
right.
I can't imagine that they wasn't ever a duo, you know what I mean? And it shows on the 36 Chambers. I know we're talking about Only Built for Cuban Links, but when you listen to the 36 Chambers, it's almost like you could have predicted the Only Built for Cuban Links album, right? Like, with more features of Ghostface on a Raekwon album, which it just totally made sense because they meshed well together so well.
But he was, you know, we talk about the fiery and the emotion about him. And even if you look at them, like, Ghostface Kill always had the towel. Like, he always had the towel. Like, I'm about to come in, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to battle, right? Raekwon always had the toothpick. Like, I'm just cool. I'm telling you the story. But the emotion always came in. And I didn't know how the solo albums were going to roll out after Enter the Woo. But I remember on Bring the Ruckus, I remember I was like, he's nice. But so many of them were nice. Like, you had to take your time to really study each individual.
Yeah, all of them was nice. Yep. All of them.
In talking earlier about how Enter the 36 Chambers was a kind of a template, Havoc, you were talking a lot about specifically the work that RZA was doing as a producer. Mm. And one of the things that really strikes me about where hip-hop production was at, especially in 95, especially the work that not just RZA was doing, but Havoc, you specifically were doing as well, is that, and this also includes people like the Beat Miners and all these other folks who had really come up and were just hitting in that mid-decade moment, is that it felt like the production had shifted a little bit away from, let's just put together ill loops that no one had heard before, and really thinking about atmosphere and mood. And I think what distinguishes to me both something like The Infamous as well as Only Built for Cuban Links is it's not just about spotting the sample, it's really about creating a sense of space and of atmosphere in the music. And Havoc, you had made, to me at least, this very big leap as a producer between the two Mobb Deep, the first Mobb Deep album, the second one. So how were you processing everything that you were hearing in that moment, especially what RZA was doing and the kind of work you were doing as well?
I was just like amazed by everything that was going on, you know, especially listening to like RZA's work. You know, like you said, the atmospheric sound, you know, that we kind of like took on instead of just sampling a loop and going, you know, sounding, you know, monotonous or whatever it is. It was just a whole atmosphere. It was a mood. And I just, you know, I was swept in the moment of it all and you know, utilized it to the best of my producer's ability. You know, that's all I can say to that.
I mean, one of the things that I like most about both Only Built for Cuban Links and The Infamous is, to Oliver's point, there is, you know, sort of an atmosphere that's created, not just the samples, but RZA was able to to build this vibe in sort of like the way he, you know, the way he used, you know, movie soundtracks and movie dialogue. The song sounded so sinister. And I would say the same about Infamous. It was just like this sinister, ominous background. So by the time we got to the flow, something was already set up, like the atmosphere was already set up inside of us, right? So you just didn't start rapping. It was like conversations had to ensue, established beefs or whatever, whatever was about to happen. And then the griminess, which you have to imagine for me as a West Coaster raised in L.A., I'm getting to know Queensbridge. I'm getting to know Shaolin just through, not just through the bars, but also through, you know, like you said, the template that was set, the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And it is sinister. And that's why the flows were just so, I mean, you got all this flow, you got all these samples, and you got 8 to 9 different MCs, Wu-Tang Killer Bees, just coming at you.
It was crazy, man. And you know, Only Built for Cuban Links, when Raekwon dropped it, it couldn't have came at a more perfect time.
Say more, though. Like, what do you mean by that?
Well, you know, you had Biggie, he dropped his joint. You know, Nas, everybody dropped their joint. Right. Mobb Deep. You know, I'm only naming East Coast. I don't mean to leave anybody else out. But
for sure.
Everybody was dropping dope albums that year in that time period, for that 2 year span, right? All these dope albums coming. And then here comes Only Built for Cuban Links with the icing on the cake. And he did it well. It's like, The album, you could play it from front to back. I just played it the other day, and it don't get old.
Right.
Along those lines, Havoc, I've always wanted to know how competitive just New York was specifically, because to your point, this was such an incredible, vibrant time for hip-hop where it felt like every new album was rewriting the rules. And you were saying before about, you know, when you heard Only Built, it made you want to redo things about your own album. So I'm just wondering if you could talk a little bit about just that kind of competitive spirit of all of these different artists at the top of their game trying to outdo one another, assuming that that was the case.
Yeah, well, like, we all was friends, you know what I mean? So it wasn't a rivalry that was, you know, plagued in hate or something like that. Right. It was like we all was friends, and we would see each other, and we would always big each other up for our projects. Like, you know, like, yo, son, that shit was crazy. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
And that was the beautifulest thing about it, because, you know, they would be bigging me up about my project. Raekwon would drop his joint. We'd be like, yo, son, that, yo. Like, so they already knew that after each one of our projects, When anybody go back to the studio, we going in to try to top that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
I mean, but Only Built for Cuban Links, that was a hard one to top.
I don't mean to put you on the spot, but do you think this is the best of the Wu-Tang solo albums?
Man. You know what? I would say this. That was an incredible album, man. You know, I can't say that it was the best of the solo albums, because each one individually, when they all did their solos, was dope. For their own project. But I think Only Built really, it stopped time when it came out. It just stopped time, and everything stopped, and it was that. It turned into the Purple Tape.
Yeah. Morgan, how about you?
You always put me in the hot seat, Oliver. Come on.
I mean, I feel like we actually might have talked about this during the Liquid Swords episode, but I don't remember what you said. I mean, look, I'll go on record, and I feel like maybe I did this before. For me, Supreme Clientele, when it first came out, was A1.
Okay.
Oh, man.
And probably Ray's debut would be A2. But that said, it's been a long time since I went back and listened to all those albums together. So I might reorder the rankings, but certainly I think Ray has to be in that conversation.
Sure.
There's no way you can bump it down to tier two. But anyways, where does it rank for you, Morgan?
I mean, it's tough because of the aforementioned, you know, allegiance and love for GZA. So Liquid Swords is always going to be precious to me. I talked about this before, about the different personalities and what I liked about all of them. So I also liked T'Cal. So because I was excited, I bought the whole John Blaze. I love that persona, I loved Method's flow. So I like different ones for different reasons. I think Only Built for Cuban Links is just so solid from cover to cover that it's the closest you get to Enter the Woo. You know, that you're just like, ooh. I mean, just the only thing missing from here is I miss ODB and that singing. I'm missing that ooh.
Right.
You know, that's what's missing from here. But other word, it's like a solid crew album. I don't know where I'd put it, but I would say it's got to be up there. Got to be.
Yo, first of all, son, beat the arson. Many brothers I be sparking and busting mad light inside the dark. Call me Dough Snatcher, just a brother for the rapture. I hang loud, holding on strong, hard to capture. Extravagant, resurrect the track and it's militant. Then I react like a convict and start killing shit. It's manifested, the gods work like a...
We will be back with more of our conversation with Havoc about Raekwon's debut album, Only Built for Cuban Links, after a brief word from some of our Max Fun podcast siblings. Keep it locked.
They had you resting. Well, I'll be trapped by sounds, locked behind loops, throwing niggas up airplanes, cause cash rules. Everything around me black, as you can see. Swallow this murder one verse like God degree. Then analyze my soundtrack.
Hey, Max Funsters, it's Jesse Thorne. This week on my public radio interview show, Bullseye, I'm talking with Tina Fey and Robert Carlock about creating Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, 30 Rock, and also just kind of why they're the best at everything.
There was a window of time when we would just go to awards things and pick up our prizes and party with the people from Mad Men.
You can find Bullseye at MaximumFun.org or wherever you listen to podcasts. Just search for Bullseye with Jesse Thorne.
Max Fun is running a survey to help figure out which advertisers are a good fit for our audience. We're still primarily audience supported, and that will always be the case, but advertising can be a helpful source of income, especially right now. The results of the survey will help us talk to some new advertisers and convince them to give us a shot. The survey is short, shouldn't take more than 10 minutes, and you'll get a discount at the Max Fun store for filling it out. Also, our gratitude. Go to MaximumFun.org/ad survey, all one word, to fill it out. Thanks. Yo, and we are back on Heat Rocks talking with Havoc about Only Built for Cuban Links.
Havoc, not only have I been re-listening to Only Built because of our episode today, but I also wrote about the 25th anniversary of The Infamous, so I was re-listening to that album as well. And what really popped out to me about both of them is just how well sequenced it is. Mm. And because, you know, when we talk about Ray's album, we talk about the Purple Tape, because they, for people unfamiliar, when they put the, I guess, the first 10,000 units out on cassette tape, Ray told them to make it purple so that it would stand out in case it was littered on the floor someplace of your car. You could see it because it was purple. And it was a reminder that, especially in that era of not just hip hop, but all music, you know, cassettes were a big thing because it was the most portable thing. It was cheaper than buying a CD player. And the thing about listening to music on a cassette is you are kind of more or less forced to listen to it from beginning to end because it's not easy to skip around.
Yes.
And so I'm wondering, to what extent, when you were making your own album, were you thinking about that experience of how does one experience an album from beginning to end, because cassettes were such a dominant format then?
Cassette tapes, they do force you to, you know, listen to an album to begin and to end. But I will tell you this, if it ain't popping for the first song or two, that tape is definitely going in the trash. So it won't even make it. It won't even make it through. So back to your question, sequencing is very important, because you want to pull people in immediately. You know what I mean? Right. And then after that, you want to take them on a journey to keep them there. And then you want to end it off nice.
But to that point, I think striving for perfection is a great opener. Because it's sort of
absolutely,
like, you know, it's a pep talk, you know, for different, about different enterprises, you know, different different forms of income and whatnot. But it just is like, ooh, what's next? And I like that. I've said long on this show that what I want for this next generation is please bring back skits and interludes and voicemail messages. Please let's go back to the golden age. But I thought to that end, I think striving for perfection starts you out. And by the time you get to knuckleheads, you're ready to take off. You know, you're ready to take off. Yeah.
Tell me how you feel, man.
Yo, son. Check the fly shit, son.
What's up, cousin? How
you doing? Baby, check it, man. I got a new connect, son. For real, man. Fuck all this 24 brick shit, man.
Yeah.
My man got out of state for 15.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yo.
You know my man's in this NBA. They politicking to death, so
right.
It's all good. What's up?
God, we got to move, God. We got to move, God. We got to migrate.
It's a real slow burn of an intro, not just striving for perfection, but the way that Knuckleheads opens. It doesn't just jump in, right? It has to build up into the point in which the beat drops. And I always thought that was a really unique quality. I'm going to come back to that point probably in a couple of minutes. But if, Havoc, if you don't mind me asking, one thing I've always been curious about the Infamous since we've been talking about these two albums side by side is if I think in a conventional ordering, Infamous could have started with the Infamous Prelude, right? With Prodigy just you know, doing his thing. But instead, you guys decided to go with the start of your ending. And I'm wondering, was that always going to be the first song on the Infamous?
Well, ironically, that song was made last. That was the last song made on the album. And it ended up being the first song, you know, in on the album. Yeah. But so I didn't arrange the sequence of it. That was Prodigy's doing. Mm. So I always trusted Prodigy after, you know, the Infamous. I said, okay, this is your job, you know what I mean? Because he set it up nice, you know what I mean? And I believe in Prodigy's head, he was like, okay, let's just start with the song, pull him in, and let me just talk to him for a second, and then let's get back to business.
And oh yeah, so all them rap-ass niggas with your half-ass rhymes talk about how much you get high, how much weed you smoke, and that crazy space shit that don't even make no sense. Don't ever speak to me when you see me, you know what I'm saying? Word, I'm about to get on some old high school shit, start punching niggas in their faces for living. Yo, I'm finished when I had to say, y'all can continue on.
To bring this back to Raekwon's album, Havoc, what to you is the fire track off of this LP? Like, even now, 25 years later, you listen to it, what's the song off here that just jumps up and smacks you in the face?
Ice Cream.
Your whole shell, baby's wicked like Nimrod. Caught me like a freshwater straw, or may I not be God? Attitude is very rude, boo. Crabby like seafood. It turns me on like Vine, see it all rude. They call me Starkey Love One. Check the strategy by any means. Shirley Temple Cross was done by Billie Jean. Black Mrs.
I get the chills every time I hear that song. Like, straight up. All jokes aside. So when I hear that song, it puts me in a time. It puts me... It's like I feel like I'm there. Like, I remember when that song was popping. I had the Camry with the broken windows, and I was just like listening to that. Oh, man. Damn. It gives me the chills.
What is it about that song in particular?
I mean, number one, first of all, the video was crazy, right?
Yes, it was.
The video make you like the song even better, you know what I mean? Because they was Wu-Tanged out, you know what I mean?
They were.
And they had all the hood chicks, like, you know what I mean, on some ice cream thing. And
they did.
The song was, and then Capadonna comes in there, killing it.
Bitches paranoia for this thing. Who want the most of me? Only a heart doesn't want to be calling me cousin. Thirsty for my catalog, baby. Shopping spree of loving. Call me if you want to get dug like the pockets. I just am like a giant, break wounds out of the sockets.
And then you got Method Man. He's just bodying the hook.
Watch these rap niggas get all up in your guts. Prince Vanilla Butter Pecan Chocolate Deluxe. Even Caramel Sundaes is getting touched. Scooped in my ice cream truck.
Oh my God. And yo, there's mad songs on that album that I could have easily just went to.
Right.
But is Ice Cream give me the chills?
Right.
Because it had a video to it. So I'm like, yo.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And the loop was ill. I mean, that loop that RZA hooked up was.
Smoking. Yeah.
Summertime, fine jerry dripping. Seen you were pickings with a bunch of chickens. How you clicking? I kept shooting strong notes as we got close.
Morgan, how about you? What are your fire tracks off this LP?
It's hard to pick one. I love ice cream, but if there's one that gives me stank face where I just am like, I can't move on, is Incarcerated Scarfaces.
Oh,
yes.
That's a knocker.
For real, it's just slang rap democracy. Here's the policy, slide off the ring, plus the wallabies. Check the status, soon to see me at Caesar's Palace eating salads. Be beating Mike's in the keys to Dallas. I move rhymes like retail, make sure shit sell. From where we at to my man sell. From
stand- can you, can I change my answer?
Yo.
Incarcerated Scarfaces is dope.
Yo.
Oh my God.
Yo.
I told you, this album made me want to go back to the drawing board. I'm telling you. It was crazy. And I say that truthfully. Like, whoa.
I mean, that one is the one. And I think also, too, and it doesn't get talked about as much, but I really like Verbal Intercourse.
Funny style, niggas rolling a pal. Rooster heads profile on a bus to Rikers out. Holding weed inside they pussy with their minds on the pretty things in life. Props is a true thug's wife. It's like a cycle. Niggas come home, someone go in, do a bullet, come back.
When that Verbal Intercourse dropped, it was like a gift from the gods. It's like, wait a minute. Like, that beat, you never even heard a beat like that before.
Yeah.
It was crazy. It was almost like it wasn't fair. That's how good these songs was.
I mean, you think about 95 and Nas had just dropped Illmatic a year before. We're all hungry to hear more from him. That second album was going to be out for I think another year, but in 95 you get him on Verbal Intercourse, and to go back to something we talked about in the first half, you get him on Eye for an Eye on The Infamous, and you talk about just bodying the cameo. Like, Nas as a feature in that year in those two albums was just lighting things on fire.
Indeed.
For me, the fire track, and I mean, this goes back to the same thing that we've all been saying here. You could just spin a dial and anywhere you land on this album, you're likely to have something that's going to fit into that.
Basically.
But for me, I got to go with Criminology.
Mm. Okay, I'm not mad at you.
And part of it is because I think so much of the rest of the album has more of a laid back feel. Mm. But Criminology is the one that feels, by comparison, is like riot.
Right.
It's like riot music.
Dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
Taking you on another one.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Taking you on another one.
To go from those horns to those bells. And just the contrast.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's not like people don't describe RZA as a genius, because of course he is. But just this album, all the different shades, all of the different styles, not just across songs, but even in a single song.
Yeah.
The work that he was putting in was extraordinary.
Yeah. I mean, hands down, one of the best hip hop producers of all time.
I'll take your lying shit. And then you know, I'm running through the P now. Fair. Fourth through chow was wow. The old lady snitch. But fuck it. You know it, one love, kid. No, I'm not doing a bit. Too much to get.
We like to ask about favorite moments on the album. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to circle back to something I was saying earlier, which is about the beginning of Knuckleheads.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I've listened to this album more times than I can remember over the last quarter century. And it doesn't matter how many times I hear it, I never quite predict when the drums and the piano come in, because RZA didn't put it onto a standard kind of 4-4 track. It just, they drop in where they drop in. And so to this day, where that the beat really begins,
mm-hmm.
is, it still catches me off balance. And I just mm-hmm. love the fact that he already, from the beginning of this album, I feel unsettled. I don't know what's coming. And Knuckleheads personifies that on a sonic level. Morgan, how about you? What are your favorite moments off this album?
I gotta say, a standout moment for me, besides Striving for Perfection, which I already mentioned because I love that opener, but for me it's the beginning of Rainy Days.
Of how to conquer these rainy days.
You sang beautifully just now.
I
sing for him, and he isn't here.
What's going down, man? What's up, lad?
Niggas just fucking robbed my gate, man.
Word?
I'm fucking, yo, I'm gonna murder somebody.
And I just love that it's like a whole movie in one disparate parts put together, and then it just starts. And that, to me, is probably my favorite moment on the album.
Havoc, how about you? Do you have a favorite moment off this LP?
Oh, man, the whole album is a moment to me. You know what I mean? The whole album. But, you know, just to highlight something off the album that people probably really don't talk about too much, but they probably do. Biters.
You know what I'm saying? For real, because I'm approaching niggas, man. For real, man. I don't want nobody sound like me, man. For real, son. You know, bad enough, nigga. I don't want nobody sound like nobody from my clan, man. Keep it real. Get your own shit, man. And be original.
Hold
up. That's all, man.
And
you're going to come out your own way. Whatever how you going to take it, man. Fuck it.
Ghostface lingo is just so crazy in there. He's like, yeah, you know, you say your little word, and then here they come with the word, taking your word.
He's like, being original.
You know what I'm saying? I could listen to it all day. Like, you know, they slang, they accent is just everything, man.
It's funny because I think that song, that interlude, and the aforementioned Prodigy's infamous Prelude are two of my favorite skits from that entire era, partly because you just assume that they're basically subtweeting people, and in your mind, you're just trying to figure out who are they talking about.
Right.
And with Shark Biters, I didn't realize at the time they were talking about Biggie. And of course, in hindsight, now it makes total sense in terms of the cover of Ready to Die and comparing it to the cover of Illmatic. But I didn't realize until years later that there was even beef between those two camps, or at least just these accusations flying back and forth. And I guess I just love the ways in which you have a little bit of inside baseball happening within this album. And Havoc, to your point, if you knew, you knew. And if you didn't know, it still sounds good because you just like hearing people talking shit. And that's exactly what that skit was.
Exactly.
These niggas is biting off your album cover and shit.
Yeah.
Boom, bad enough, they biting lines like niggas killed me when they came with some knot. Niggas bit off a nine shit. You know what I'm saying? Well, niggas caught his little album cover. Boom, then I did a nine shit. That shit.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, what the fuck, man? It's like,
I mean, for me, the all-time skit of skits is that Seventh Chamber. Hey, yo, Meth, where my killer tape at?
Yo, man. Hold on. Yo, Meth, where my killer tape at? Yeah, first of all, where the fuck is my tape at?
Yo, Sean, I ain't got that piece, Sean.
How you ain't got my shit, but I let you hold it, man?
Yo, niggas came over to have 40s and blunts, kid. The shit just came
out.
Come on,
man. I don't got nothing to do with my shit, man. Come on, man. Go ahead with that
shit.
Come
on, man.
Havoc, let me ask this with Shark Biters. Did you know what they were talking about? I got to assume you did, but more to the point, what was your reaction when you heard them basically calling out Biggie indirectly?
Now, I would have loved to say, yes, I knew who they was talking about at first, but I definitely didn't know who they was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I consider myself to be on the inside, right?
Yeah.
But when I finally found out, I was surprised, but then I wasn't surprised. You know what I mean? Because I thought there was a lot of camaraderie there between Big, the Wu, and Nas and everybody. But then when I found out what it was over and what it represented, I said, okay, yeah, it makes sense. But I don't think it ever, you know, went off of the tape, right? You know what I mean? It wasn't you know what I mean? It was just people expressing themselves. But, but when I finally found out, I was like, oh shit. Wow.
They kept it hip-hop, as they say.
Right.
You know? For sure. Havoc, as a producer, I know you said you love this whole album. You know, it made you want to, you know, go back to the lab. But of the songs on here, just speaking to you just as a producer, like, what's the song that you just think is like, this production here is like, I mean, it's hard to pick because all these songs are fire.
Right,
but what's
that
one jam on here that you just like, from a producer standpoint, this is perfection?
Heaven and Hell. You know, it's not hype, it's not this, it's not that. It's just smooth and it gets the point across. It's like that beat is like, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Oh, man.
Yo, waking up about 10 kids, jumping in the shower, piece about to make moves to slide like grease. What I'm all about, text and checks with no respect. Your front, I'm slamming your like the Lex. So now I'm out in the 95, rocking that real.
That's my sleeper jam. That's my sleeper jam because, in general, I just love when RZA slows things down, like Can It All Be So Simple, Cream, whenever it slows down. I love the Syl Johnson sample. That's a great song.
It's funny, Morgan, because my sleeper jam was very similar, which is Wisdom Body.
Mm.
And when I first listened to the album back in the day, the songs that I gravitated to at the time were going to be like Guillotine. It was going to be Glaciers of Ice.
Right.
I wasn't really checking for the love and sex songs like Ice Cream and like Wisdom Body. But these days, when I listen to it, especially with this song in particular, it's that combination of Ghostface just going for solo dolo,
yeah.
and yeah. RZA managing to take effectively one single bar, looping it up, and getting the most out of it.
Yeah.
I played the speaker, sipping on Kahlua, saw this bad bitch with a switch, and yo, I had to step to it in a manner, and rather wish the current was warm. When I had reached her, I looked and knew the shit was on. Peace, excuse me.
Not to geek out, but there, I think from a production point of view, when you can take a single bar and turn that into a song, that is, right. to me, just a work of artistry.
Yep.
Absolutely. And, you know, it takes a dope MC to carry just a one bar loop, you know what I mean? Really, and Prodigy, he was ill at that too.
To make yeah. a hard rock smile, you can't strike out. Tell me what can really go wrong. You're rocking labels, Tommy Hill, down at Claiborne. Show me some love, hun. Show me some love, boo. Show me the vibe and I'll be more than glad to shoot it through. Hey, yo, peep it. I know you love Victoria's Secret and loving all the marvelous slang.
Is there a sleeper jam off this album for you, Havoc? Something that maybe when you first listening, it wasn't the thing that was hitting for you, but as time has gone by, it's the song that you've come back to and rediscovered in a way.
Let me see. I will have to say Spot Rushes. That's one of those hidden gems on the album.
Like anchors on ships flooded with all diamond chips, back pockets, two clips, four fifths with rubber grips laying. Two bottles of brass, I was slaying, meditating. Red dot, be waiting for my payment. Heard the key in the lock, cock the Glock, turn the lights out, dip behind the couch, key on Gag's mouth, infrared at his head.
But also, you know, Havoc and Oliver, I'm not gonna let y'all pass by Guillotine, because you know I gotta hear Jizz's verse there. And Christian, I already know where it is because I've listened to it over and over. But if you could go to like the 3:30.
The nigga don't get mad, I got mad styles of my own, and it's shown when my hands grip the chrome microphone. Verbally, I catch bodies with cordless shotties. Intriguing them seeds, I keep them trained like potties. I bomb facts, my sword is an axe to split backs, invisible like dope fing tracks. Sky's the limit, niggas are timid, and nobody knows how we move like wolves and sheep clothes.
Come on!
Oh, man.
He was just so ahead of his time on that verse, yes. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes, yes, microchips.
Software.
Word up.
Just a smart dude in 1995, you know what I'm saying?
Word up.
Software, underground and off air, the land of the lost. Notorious henchmen from the north, striking niggas with a Mason Dixon line cross.
Havoc, if you had to describe Only Built for Cuban Links in three words, what three words would you choose?
That's my shit.
Yes. <Woo. laughs>
Yeah. And big up to my friends Vanellas, Polly Boo, Fonse, Mi Amor, Merci, Wee Wee, Bon Bons, and all that good stuff. That good stuff.
Before we bounce, we want to leave our audience members with other stuff to listen to. So if people really enjoyed listening to this Raekwon album, what should be next on their playlist? Morgan, you want to start us off?
My first thought was I was going to go with the film, and I was going to, you know, just do a film because I saw that you did a film. But I would say give Ghostface Killah a little bit more time and go to Iron Man. The album comes out later. It's 96. And you got the usual suspects. You got RZA on production. You got samples, but they're different because you got soul samples. But I think you get your classic Wu-Tang production. And I would say go to Faster Blade. Go to Poisonous Darts. Those are the heaters if you want to get that hype and get that amp. But I'd say go there.
The Genovese swallow this line and quarter freeze. Press call ID for me to quote more degrees. The fortune teller tuck a sleeping gas umbrella. A war winner dining in the back of Marmon Bella. Now who? Don't believe that cash must rule. I don't eat meat. I slap blood out of Purdue. Keep a wireless mic. Mic's on strike. The session is over. I'm fireless and glow like fluorescent.
I got two recommendations. I'll start with the obvious one, which is especially anyone listening to this episode, if you've never heard Only Built, okay, great, you got that out of the way. Then you got to go with The Infamous. If you haven't heard that, it just makes mm-hmm. sense in terms of these are, to me, the definitive albums from 95. Mm-hmm. And they say so much about where hip-hop was at in that moment, the level of craftsmanship, just the quality, the storytelling. I mean, the whole nine. You got, I mean, obviously, if you're listening to this episode, give Prodigy and Havoc's album a listen.
Absolutely. Stab your brain with your nose bone. You all alone in these streets, cousin. Every man for himself in his land, we be gunning. And keep them shook crews running like they supposed to. They come around, but they never come close to. I can see it inside your face, you're in the wrong place.
But the other thing that I was going to recommend, and this is a movie that comes up obviously a lot on the Raekwon album, is John Woo's The Killer.
Mm.
Parts of the dubbed dialogue are sprinkled throughout this album. And The Killer is arguably, to me, the single most important Hong Kong action film of the last 30 years in terms of its influence and impact. And I can't speak for Ray or RZA here, but I imagine that part of what drew them to that film wasn't just the set pieces in terms of the action scenes, but also just the underlying melancholy and fatalism that's in the film itself. And parts of The Killer, to be, you know, candid, are comically melodramatic. And for people who don't know what I'm talking about, I'll just say these three words, blind lounge singer. But unlike, let's say, you know, a movie like John Wick, The Killer to me is much more dark. It's more tragic. And you can see that, I think, in the worldview of both the movie as well as the album, because there's so much of that kind of darkness within Ray's album as well. And so, again, if you've never seen The Killer, I think you owe it to yourself to go back and see what it is about that movie that inspired people like RZA and Ray and all these other folks to use so much of that within their own album.
Mm-hmm.
Havoc, how about you? What do you think people should listen to next after this Raekwon album?
What album should they listen to? Or what movie?
Yeah. No, or either. I mean, what should be next on their whatever the checklist, basically?
Oh, so yeah, on the checklist should be Scarface, the movie. They should definitely watch that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. You know what I mean? You know, based on incarcerated Scarfaces.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think they should go check out the Ghostface album, the Clientele album.
Mm.
Supreme mm-hmm. Clientele. Yeah. Yeah.
They won't be disappointed, you know what I mean? And they'll actually get why these albums are so put on a pedestal. Pants sagging, roll your waist up. Niggas renting slum juice from Jacob. Fool, you're like, dude, I don't like your fucking attitude. Fronting on my clan from the start, we ain't mad at you. Starts with the cheesy face, measly pace, old face, ghost face. Jump out the window for a little taste, the droopy look. My main bitches call me lazy. Educated birds say ghost, you so crazy.
Thank you so much for taking time to join us today. It's just such a pleasure to hear a contemporary talking about another contemporary's work. And, you know, as we've been saying, I mean, 95 would be completely different if not for the work that you and Prodigy and the work that Raekwon, Ghost, and RZA put together in that year.
Man, thank you. I really appreciate it a lot, y'all saying that. I'm just happy that I got a chance to do this interview and be part of the conversation. I appreciate y'all.
Thank you so much. And thank you for being a part of some of the best years of my life, music-wise, in the golden age of hip-hop. And I'm just glad that I was there to bear witness to hear the music. So thank you for you guys' part in that.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Heat Rocks with me, Oliver Wong, and Morgan Rhodes.
Our theme music is Crown Ones by Thess One of People Under the Stairs. Shout out to Thess for the hookup.
Heat Rocks is produced by myself and Morgan, alongside Christian Duenas, who also edits, engineers, and does the booking for our shows.
Our senior producer is Laura Swisher, and our executive producer is Jesse Thorne.
We are part of the Maximum Fun family, taping every week live in their studios in the Westlake neighborhood of Los Angeles.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.